Welcome to the Marvels and Mishaps of Travel. Are you feeling lost and looking to meet yourself anew? Are you feeling like you want to travel, but you just don't know how to get started or where to take that first step? Well, stay tuned to get inspired to push yourself out of your comfort zone with our very first episode of the Marvels and Mishaps of Travel.
Hey everyone. So my name's Jessica and I've got my friend Monica here.
Hey everybody.
Hey, so yeah, we're super into traveling, and one of the things that we recently came up with was this idea to do a podcast about travel.
Yeah, we've both been on to so many countries, have had ups and downs and all kinds of crazy adventures, and we know that travel has really changed our lives, and we also thought we could save some headaches for the aspiring travelers out there by sharing some of our mishaps as well, so that you can kind of learn some tips and tricks and make your experience the best that it can be.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we haven't actually traveled together, which is kind of funny because we've been to a lot of the same places. So you'll get two different angles of
but we sure
pretty much
talk
every
about
place.
Travel a lot, so we might as well record this for somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And whenever we get together, we're pretty much talking about traveling. So we're like, hey, why not just have an audience? So this is
love.
Why we're here. And you know, one of the things that we wanted to talk about too is just how we're able to travel. I know I get a lot of time off, which is really great, but you also don't necessarily have to have that kind of time off. And I know, you know, Monica, as a teacher, you also get very prescribed segments off, mm-hmm. but for long periods. So I know it's
it's definitely a blessing. But we also realize that, you know, you don't have to have the type of career or job that, you know, gives you these long periods of time off. You can really maximize your travel, you know, using long weekends, you know, just
cheap flight deals,
and you know, starting off if you're getting into a career that doesn't afford you a lot of time off, there are workarounds, there are ways to get that done. But basically, let's start off like the why. Like, what's the why travel, Jess?
Yeah, so I didn't really understand why people like traveling so much when I was younger. And, you know, one of my friends brought me on this trip and I was like, this just shocked my senses. And it just made me feel like my normal reality wasn't so daunting
Did you have a lot of opportunity to travel like as a child?
Not really. I mean, my parents, we're from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and we usually just traveled around New England. I think both my parents probably had a little bit of travel anxiety, so we didn't go that far. But yeah, I mean, once I started traveling, I was like, this is so much easier to do mm-hmm. than I thought, and also way more fun. So
yeah, I was kind of the opposite. My parents had me on airplanes like as an infant. We had family, you know, kind of all over the country and to this day all over the world. So there was always somebody to go visit, you know, big Indian family. So we were always on the move. And then I was lucky enough that my mom did one of those like multi-tiered party plan things. Like she actually sold
nice.
Christmas decorations. And there was always one of the big incentives for her sales was a trip. And they'd offer
a
discount. And like, you know, again, it was a very, you know, scripted, prescribed, like large group, you know, type of trip. But we got to go to the Caribbean. We got to go to London. Like, and so I think like from a young age, I was sort of bitten with the travel bug, and that was really great when mom and dad were paying for everything.
Right.
Then,
yeah,
then I became a real adult and was like, oh, I want to do this, but I don't know how to do it on my own. And, you know, starting off as a teacher, I'm making peanuts, and, you know, the thought of, you know, having extra money to take luxurious vacations was just daunting. And so it took me, it took me a while into my adulthood before I kind of like figured it out.
Yeah.
And also just getting over the fears too of going by myself, going as a woman.
You don't know what to expect.
Right. And, you know, and then like, is it going to be fun if I go by myself, or like, which one of my friends am I not going to want to kill, you know, for a week? You know, so it's been, I mean, just so many questions and some options as I figured it out, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with everybody else.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, I think I had a friend just kind of push me out the door. She invited me on a trip to Haiti, and it was so much more of a vacation spot than I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. You know, we also tried to do some volunteering too, but it ended up being vacation.
That's a doozy of a first trip. Yeah. Like most people pick like London, and you're like, I'll go to Haiti. Like, but hey, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I had a ton of mishaps happen. Like, I broke out in hives because I ate something I was allergic to, and I got a burn on my leg from a motorcycle exhaust pipe. So that was fun. And then I think I also got like a horrific sunburn, and like I tried to pet a goat and it ran by me, so its rope gave me rope burn on my leg.
You would spend a lot of time in the pharmacies, I'm sure, too. Yeah. Well, what were the highlights of that trip?
Yeah, but like, the highlights made it worth it, I promise, despite all the absurdity that went along with that trip,
Wasn't there, like, a waterfall or something that you visited?
Yeah. So we went to this place called Besson Bleu, which was in Jacmel. And, I mean, it took forever to get there because we had to go around this, like, windy mountain. And, of course, my friend got sick out the back because I was on the verge of getting sick the whole time, and then she got sick. But
So there's some medical-grade ginger pills I can recommend for motion sickness.
but it was a really cool trip. You know, we got to go to the beach. We went out to clubs. Somebody recorded me having like a dance off with somebody, which was really a fun memory to have. And, you know, we just like took it easy. The motto of the trip was hurry up and wait, because anytime you tried to plan something, took a couple extra hours for everybody to get off their butt. But it's like, we got to go swimming, and what was interesting about it was it just like showed me how both good of a life that I have, and then also that, you know, you can go elsewhere and everything in your life gets put in perspective, you know? So I thought just that aspect of it made me, it energized me and motivated me to try going elsewhere.
But it's humbling too.
Right. Exactly. Right? Very humbling.
You start having, you know, going to countries where, you know, the comforts of home are not, they're very spare. And, you know, you start realizing like, okay, like we, you know, people complain about the United States and, you know, American life, and, you know, it really puts things in perspective. Like, okay, wow, we Americans complain a lot. But when you start realizing
we're
how
like super privileged.
And, you know, complaining about like things taking a long time or not being this or not being that. And, you know, you go to a place like India and there's no heat. Like it's only cold enough to need heat for maybe 6 to 8 weeks a year, but that's also the better time to travel because it's not
monsoons
or not like, you know, blaringly hot. But I, you know, stayed with my family actually in a small village, and, you know, because I was the American guest, they put the kerosene heater in my room, you know, but you sleep in your winter coat and you sleep with your hat on and you sleep under 3 wool blankets, and, you know, you imagine like what everybody else is feeling, you know, if I was the one with the heater in the room. So, you know, or just you have to take your shower between these hours because that's when we have hot water.
Yeah, it was like that in Peru too. Yeah. It was like, you know, in the morning it was maybe 30 degrees Fahrenheit, and then in the afternoon it was up in the 60s. So you just were, you know, had to adjust to the temperature of the water and, you know, the temperature going outside.
Right, so. And we walk into our bathrooms and turn on the water. And I know sometimes I catch myself complaining at my boyfriend's house because it takes, you know, like 3 minutes to heat up instead of like instantly hot water. But, you know, you have to remember.
It's all
like,
about what you're used to.
Yeah. And just, you know, but it is humbling and it is eye opening and it does change your perspective on how other people work and live and exist. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So we touched on, you know, having time to travel, and we mentioned, you know, not really needing lots of time to travel and being able to like fit things into long weekends and stuff. But I think the other big factor that holds some people back is money, you know.
Definitely,
and just how do you come up with, you know, a big pile of cash to be able to just luxuriously travel when we have bills and houses and dependents
unexpected
and everything
costs.
Unexpected things, right? And, you know, just kind of how do you manage that? So what would you say
about that? Yeah, so I think there's like a ton of different strategies you can use for that. I mean, one of the things that helps, I know you've talked about this before, Monica, is just like putting things in travel terms. Mm-hmm. Like if you're spending money on one thing, that takes away from your travel. And like that can be a little crazy making to think about that every single time you make a purchase. Yeah,
but it also helps you realize that, you know, the trip is maybe not as far off than what you think. So like, for instance, if you had... You know, I like to shop, and I will go and like add to cart, you know, and like
eventually
like find some, you know, justification in my mind. I'm like, yeah, I need $100 worth of you know, leisure wear and like,
I'll pay for this dresses. Later. Yeah.
And I have no shortage of clothing in my life, but you know, when I kind of pause and say like, okay, that's $100 on, you know, clothing that I want, I don't really need.
Yeah.
And then you sit go, oh, that's a fourth of my trip to Mexico for the flight cost.
And then you realize, a big deal.
Yeah. And like how many other like $100 here and there that you just kind of like spend on like, we don't even think about it.
Or like going out to eat, you know,
and like start adding up your Starbucks orders and things like that.
$5 a day.
And you start saying, okay, like, you know, if I start putting this into, you know, travel cost terms, it ends up not being as big as and as much as you think.
Yeah, it's like you can accommodate it. You just have to prioritize it. Like I know if you're going out to eat every day, you're spending at least $10 a day. Mm-hmm. That's like $300 a month.
Right.
I can get a flight round trip to Europe. I've gotten ones before that are $300 using certain certain
definitely get to Puerto Rico and back for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, if you're just like keeping that into account, it's not like you can never go out to eat, or it's not like you can never buy cool clothes. But if I like need certain types of clothes, sometimes I'll check the thrift store first. Or, you know, if I really want to go out to eat, I'll be like, okay, this many times a week, and I'm going to make sure I do a little food prep a different day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many places where money kind of goes out the window that where you know, you start scraping up a little bit. The other thing, though, is I've always had an extra side hustle, part-time gig, right, as a teacher.
Which makes a huge difference. You know,
yeah. I mean, like, I don't make a ton of money, you know, as other careers do. And so I've always had something that I'm doing on the side. And, you know, over the years, I've realized it's usually better for me and my mental health if it does not have to do with children. So,
yeah.
Most recently, I've worked in the wine industry, and I teach classes on wine. I've studied wine. And so it's nice, you know, to be able to do something totally different. And then I'll literally take that paycheck and put it in a totally different account and allocate it completely for travel, because I know that that's, you know, extra money. And
it's like you don't take an account into your normal budget. Like when I worked in the food and beverage industry, I did the same thing. I just take my cash tips, put them in an envelope, and hide that envelope from myself and other people. but yeah, you get like a good chunk of cash that you just didn't take into account in your budget. So that helps a lot. And, you know, my current career, I'm an IT security analyst. So I'm making more than I used to, but, you know, when I first started out in IT, I wasn't making that much. And so I also had a side hustle where it made it a little bit more logistically difficult to plan what weekends to take off, but it usually had a busy season and a less busy season. So you kind of worked around that.
Yeah. What was that side hustle, Jess?
That was also a winery, which is how Monica and I met.
That's how we met.
I no longer work in the wine industry, though, because I also no longer drink. But it's, you know, it was fun while we did it. You know, we had the festivals. We had farmers markets. You get to try different food in different places.
It's always fun watching other people get drunk.
Yeah. and just having, you know, we bonded having that group of people that.
And then we ended up, you know, all being very like-minded. In fact, you know, we're probably going to bring on a few of those other guests, other people that we worked with as guests onto the podcast, because we've all like kind of branched out into different types of travel. It's funny how you like kind of meet people sometimes at those part-time gigs, because, you know, when you're working part-time, you end up finding other people who want to do something fun that's part-time, whether it's, you know, actually I've got like friends who work at one of like the local like concert pavilions. And, you know, again, you end up meeting people who like love music, right? So
right.
I think, you know, part-time gigs are sometimes not just for the money. Sometimes it's bonds, there for the people, and you end up meeting, you know, really amazing people that you make podcasts with.
Yeah. So that's the end goal.
The end goal is the podcast.
It's the podcast.
So I had something else in my mind that is just escaped about money. Scraping up, you know, looking at your lifestyle, definitely having a side hustle.
I use like cheap algorithm. Like, so when I say cheap algorithms, I mean algorithms that you can pay for as a subscription that send you alerts when a price drops. Mm-hmm. I guess the only pitfall of that is that you got to be ready to hop on it pretty much right away. But for instance, I use like NextVacay and Scotch Cheap Flights to find, mm-hmm. You can find that, yep. flights to 300 round trip
exactly
to Europe.
What I was looking at when I was lost my train of thought there was also, you know, using those kind of apps and things like that. And the other thing is being a little bit more open to traveling off season.
I did
a trip to South Africa, one of my favorite trips to date. And we went during their winter. We went in June. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at first I was concerned because they had a lot of rain. I thought it would be kind of cold.
Yeah.
We had planned a safari. I thought, oh no, we're not going to see animals. But thanks to the drought.
Yeah. And you're like,
sorry, but not sorry. Really? We actually had like 70 degrees and sunny every day, and there was plenty to see, and we had an amazing time. So like sometimes you like the off season travel ends up working out in your favor too, because it wasn't, again, you know, stupendously hot. And we actually had an amazing time.
Yeah. And I mean, once in a while, it does benefit you in that sense. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is also another like motivator to travel, though, is that our world is rapidly changing.
Exactly. And, yeah. You know, and you're like, how long can I go to these places? Exactly. I have no idea.
Literally, like watching glaciers, you know, crumble in Alaska and things like that. And, you know, I feel like there is a sense of urgency to go and see things like as they're meant to be before our planet is, you know, shifting. And
that's why I'm supposed to go to Antarctica this year. That's my big trip this year. It's going to be so awesome. But, you know, I found the best deal I could find, and it was still probably a couple times as expensive as other trips I've been on. But yeah, I think it's going to be worth it. And the fact that there's only a short window potentially where we'll be able to see it makes me want to go even more, not to get on a depressing note, but I don't know. I think
there are probably listeners out there who care a lot about the environment. And, you know, I mean, I'll hear the argument of like, well, if you get on the airplane all the time, then you're just adding to the problem. I'm like, little old me traveling, you know, 3-4 times a year is not, you know, we may need major infrastructural changes.
Right. But from it's a personal problem, not a personal one. Yeah.
Well, and like also understanding like, and like, you know, I mean, I, for instance, have given up pork recently simply because I have an appreciation for pigs because I swam with them in the Bahamas. Like, I think when you experience things and it gives you that deeper sense of appreciation, then you can start making, like, strides towards a better planet, better health, you know, things like that. So,
and there's ways you can also, like, pay for things that help offset carbon. Not that that's like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm off the hook. But there are measures you can take to be more environmentally conscious traveler.
I thought of another money saving tip. So my last big trip was actually just a few weeks ago, and my boyfriend and I went to Banff National Park in Alberta, Canada. Oh my god, one of the most beautiful scenic places I've ever been. And Matt's a great travel partner because he does look at cost and deeply, right? He's an accountant by trade, CPA, so numbers is his thing. And he also is very outdoorsy, and we're hoping to bring him on too to talk a little bit about outdoors type travel. And and he's got kids, so we'll have him talking about that too. But we decided not to do a hotel or even an Airbnb because they're astronomically expensive. We were going during high season. So if you don't know, Banff National Park is in the Canadian Rockies, and for a large part of the year, all the glaciers and the lakes that they the glaciers feed into are frozen over. In fact,
yeah,
I see
that happened to me. Yeah, I went in May. And it was still frozen. Yeah,
I thought it was March. May is still frozen.
May,
yeah,
it was still cold.
So knowing this and knowing that, I really wanted to see the beauty of those lakes, in their, you know, defrosted state. We went, of course. Then it's also
iconic,
the most expensive part of the year to travel. And so looking at hotels and looking at Airbnbs, we're like, okay, how can we do this that where we can afford it and we can do affording other travels? So Matt rented us a camper van. Now, I am not a
Which
camper.
To me, it sounds fun. But yeah, if you're not used to it, it's not.
Yeah, yeah. I don't camp. And yeah. I will travel the world. And I have slept outdoors sometimes accidentally. But
yeah.
Say that's another story. But, you know, I'm unfamiliar with how campsites work. The camper van did not have a bathroom, so it was like, you know,
yeah, late
night in the middle of the night, like walking to the bathroom with a flashlight and possible bears around, and you know, but I leaned into it. We, you know, planned accordingly. Matt was really patient with me, and we ended up doing the entire week for $2,000, and of course we split the cost. We would have spent five times the amount doing a hotel or an Airbnb. And so I'm like, okay, this is like a really great, like, kind of in my back pocket sort of thing to have if it is an area that offers that. And I'll tell you what, there was nothing more convenient than like having literally everything that we had brought on the trip.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about bags.
In the car all the time. So like if we needed, you know, a Band-Aid or something and the first aid kit was still in the van, it was a short walk back and not like we had to, you know, figure out a part in our day to hit a pharmacy and like get medicine or something because we had everything with us.
Yeah,
there was a convenience
you carry more
factor
around.
There too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a really different and unusual way to travel, but oh my God, the money that we saved and being able to like then go out for a few like really nice dinners and you know, and just and then we're also still gonna be able to take like at least three more trips this year. So
yeah, it's good.
It's really exciting.
And you know, that's why one of the reasons I'm money conscious on any trip is so that I can take other trips that year too.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to stop at one. That's not enough for me.
You can go
blow
$10,000 on a luxury vacation, but then that's it for the year. So
right,
if you really want to see the world, you got to do it on budget.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I'm not opposed to hostels either. They're not anybody's favorite, I think, but you do meet some cool people. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, you get in a few uncomfortable situations. I know when I was in Rome, I was hanging out with this group of people, and one of the guys got jealous of the other guy because of some girl that was there too, and he like headbutted him in the middle of the night at 2 a.m., and he was like, has swollen bulge on his head and was bleeding. Yeah, I know. I was like, really?
Yeah.
I was like, this is, and that was my.
In America, we sling a fence and then Rome, we get headbutted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, these were Americans too, which I was like, yeah, they were Americans. And the night started out where I was like, oh, you know, it's fun. They're inviting me along. I'm here by myself. And it's like a group of six of them. And then they just got like way more basic than I thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've actually had nothing but positive experiences
That's
in
good.
Hostels.
That's good. Yeah.
Now they range, I think, depending on the country. The first time it was actually my first trip as a real adult, I'll say that. And this was with a very good travel friend of mine. And she was actually the one who kind of like got me sort of started because I wanted to travel, was afraid to take the step, and we ended up meeting at an amusement park, actually, and she and I were on the lazy river together, and we got talking, and I was just like, I'm dying to travel more, I'm really trying to figure this out, and she's like, oh, yeah, I just got back from Argentina, I was there for two
very
weeks.
Very casually.
Yeah, she just like, drops this negative information, and I'm like, who did you go with? And I start picking her brain, she's like, I went by myself, and I'm like, wait a second, how old are you? Turns out she was 10 years younger than me and just casually was like, yeah, I just like spent 2 weeks in Argentina by myself. And I'm like, teach me everything you know.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
She begrudgingly like allowed me to join her on her next trip. We ended up in Cartagena, Colombia. And,
which I've also been to and it's super fun.
Super fun. And you can do it on a very small budget. We flew Spirit. We stayed in a hostel.
I also flew Spirit. Yeah.
It was Spirit. We all have love-hate relationships with Spirit Airlines. You know, it'll get you there on a low cost, but man, you got to be in for the ride.
You might have to fly the plane for this.
I mean, do what you have to do. And so anyway, yeah, hostels. And so we were in a dorm, and we had made reservations for an all-female dorm.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the reservation. They had, like, me in one female dorm and her in another female dorm. But me, this being my first trip, I was not comfortable not staying in a room with her, since I'd never stayed in a hostel before. So they were like, well, the other option is a co-ed dorm. So it was like, I think there was 6 or 8 beds in the room. And she was like, absolutely not. And I'm like, well, wait, we might end up with like couples, or we might end up with, like, you know, which in hindsight was stupid. Of course we're going to end up with boys, which we did. And, you know, they're turning on the lights at 4 o'clock in the morning. And we're like, oh my God, this is horrendous. Like, you know, we're not getting any sleep. And then the last night on the trip, we got back and our plan was to, like, change our clothes. We'd gone to a pretty nice dinner and go back out and, like, party a little bit. And these guys were in the hostel and they were, like, playing cards on the floor. And we're like, oh, what game are you playing? And we ended up joining. Mm-hmm. And they had they were on their way to, like, a soccer tournament somewhere. And they had – the one guy, like, didn't pack clothes. He just packed bottles of Pisco Sour in his suitcase.
Very eccentric.
But we had all this, like, free alcohol, and so we ended up just, like, running out to the lobby and, like, using the vending machine to, like, buy mixers, and, like, we got, like, wasted on Pisco Sours and, like, Orange Fanta and played, like, stupid cards on the floor. And, like, honestly, they all spoke Spanish. I was the only one who only spoke English. My friend is bilingual, so she was able to, like, translate. But I figured it out. I played the game. I might have even won a few hands and got stupid drunk. I think we were drunk for the flight home the next day. That's not the first time that has happened. But it ended up being a super memorable night, and we ended up meeting, like, really cool people who, like, we're not in touch with them anymore, but sometimes you are in touch with people.
Yeah.
And then other hostels in, like, Europe have been really, like, basically, like, boutique hotels. And
yeah,
like,
they feel like hotels. Yeah. I have a tendency to talk about the worst possible story I've been through, so forgive me. But
hey, mishaps. Mishaps.
Right. Hence the name of the show. But most of my hostel experiences have been totally fine. I, you know, it's once in a blue moon. It's not great, but then again, you have a good story afterwards.
Yeah. I can go on and on about hostels. I remember in Italy, I booked – so sometimes at hostels you can, like, book an excursion, like, through the hostel.
And
they'll, like, bring a guide, like, you know, somebody really cool. Yeah. And they'll sometimes they'll, like, pick up a few people from, like, a couple of different local hostels. So you end up, like, meeting people around your same age. I was always a little older, but I blend. And I booked this, like, sunset tour of, like – some of, like, the iconic, like, fountains and, like, architecture in Rome. And
like
I was
Trevi Fountain?
Trevi Fountain was one. The Spanish Steps and that, like, boat sculpture at the bottom that you can, like, drink out of.
I think I missed other, that when I was there,
A couple other spots that we stopped at with all the sculptures and the fountains are all lit up at night because you go at sunset.
Ooh, that's and, pretty.
You know, I was expecting a group of maybe 10, 12 people. I was the only one who booked it.
Yeah.
So I had a private tour through Rome. Like,
that's sweet.
Amazing.
Yeah, I think I did something kind of similar where I just had, like, a Tiber River cruise. And it was pretty much I was the only one on there. So I just had some little appetizers and just, like, looked around. But it doesn't sound as – mine wasn't as grandesque as yours, I don't think. But.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely times where, like, you meet, like, a large group of people. Like, have you ever done, like, the family-style dinners at hostels?
I think I have.
It's like sometimes you go to the hostel, they'll, like, advertise at the front desk, like, you could, for, like, for €8 or, you know, $12 or something, they hire a chef to come to the hostel and you can, like, pay to, like, have dinner at the hostel that night and somebody comes in and cooks and, you know, hopefully, like, other people who are staying there, you know, join in, and it ends up being just, like, a big, like, family style meal, usually with, like, a local chef. And it's not expensive. You get local cuisine and you get to meet people who are staying at the hostel and then usually end up, like, going out that night or something. And you talk about your trip, right? Like, have you been here yet? Have you been there yet? Like, what do you think of this place? Don't forget to bring that when you go. Like,
yeah,
you know,
you get, a lot of information that way.
So much information. And then people, like, you know, to your point earlier, you know, you end up bar hopping later, you know, or something, and meeting really cool people.
Yeah. And I think I probably, whenever I go to a country, I meet more people from other countries than from the country itself, which is kind of hilarious. But it's cool. It's just another place to go again later. You're like, oh, this person's from Argentina. I'm going to go to Argentina later.
Yeah. I've yet to do that. I've had invites from people I've met, like, in Amsterdam and Germany.
I went to Amsterdam and met someone there. Come and visit me.
And I have yet to take them up on it, but I think maybe
It's nice just knowing that invitation's open. Yeah. But I have like a Facebook group that was, you know, back in 2016, it was a brewery tour of all the beer halls in Munich. And we have like our own Facebook group, and we all like all are friends with each other. And like, I visited one of them, and it's just kind of nice to like have that extra outlet.
Yeah, or they bring up, you know, like their Facebook birthday will come up or something. It just brings up like nice, happy memories of whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like a completely new connection. And it's kind of like you get to reinvent yourself a little bit with those people, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I don't know about you, but when I went to college, I think the only person from my high school who went to that college. So I was like, oh, I'm going to reinvent myself here. And this is like another opportunity to do that. You're like, I'm going to reinvent myself while I'm in this country for like 2 weeks. Just like pretty silly, but it is nice. It's nice, like you can just kind of
And you know, like if you do like do something dumb, then you're never gonna see them again.
You're like, oh well, it's over. I never have to talk to this person again. But,
unfollow.
Oh man.
Lots of budget ways to, you know, if you're willing to give up a little bit of luxury, give up a little bit of, you know, creature comforts, go a little off season, scrape, you know, cut back on some extra spending, pick up a side hustle. Those are all great ways to make the money part of it happen.
And it sounds like a lot of work too, but like once you start traveling, you're like, okay, I will do anything for this. Like you just, you don't want to stop.
It's addictive.
Yeah, it's complete. Like you'll be planning a trip while you're on another trip, and you're like, wait,
if you don't, there's something wrong.
Yeah, you're like, but I want to go to this place, and this place. Like while you're in Japan.
I travel mostly with my boyfriend now, but you know, for instance, he's got like a couple of big things coming up at work, and I've got this 4-day weekend in November that's just like calling to me, and there's nothing that irks me more. It's like knowing that I've got like a couple of days and I don't have something planned for it, and I'm like, that is just like,
it's painful.
It is. And it's like, oh my God, I've got like four whole days.
You're sacrificing
and like, where
it
can
to
I
the gods.
Go? Yeah. And I'm and he's like, I can't take more time off of work, Monica. And I'm like, okay, but he works from home. I'm like, just bring your computer and like watch me while I have fun.
Is he opposed to you doing a solo trip or
not at all. Oh, okay. And in fact, like he also has like heavily leaned into travel. It's actually one of the reasons that we get along so well is I was traveling a lot. He was wanting to travel a lot more. And so he's an outstanding travel partner. But there's a lot of places that I've been that he wants to go to, and I don't necessarily want to, you know, use my time.
Yeah,
and money
you've got other places.
And
yeah.
Some places I absolutely will, like Italy, because I only saw a small portion of Italy, and there's so much more
to
say.
To go to Italy,
right?
Like,
I wouldn't mind going back
again.
Oh my God, Italy! and we've talked like that's a place that we will revisit multiple times.
Yeah.
You just can't do everything in Italy like in one visit.
Yeah,
you know, and I would absolutely go back to France. I'd absolutely go back to Portugal, but like Colombia, I feel like I did the best parts of Colombia on that trip. It's not one that's really calling to me. So we've talked about how he needs to do some solo travel too. And like when he gets, you know, because he is remote in his job and he can, you know, kind of take a couple extra days and work around the custody schedule and take his computer and go and work for a few hours and do what he needs to do, but still, you know, work in some travel time. I don't always have that flexibility. Mine is obviously on the calendar of the school. And so if they don't line up, it's like, hey, like, I'm going to do this solo trip, but, like, knowing that he will do his too.
Yeah.
Our next big one is to Chile, so that's coming up in December.
So long.
Yeah, we just got flights, and, oh, another money-saving tip. So if you track your flight on Google, so you use, like, Google Flights, and pick out the flights that you want, they give you a little toggle button that says, like, oh, your Google flight has, you know, dropped in price or gone up in price. So whenever there's a change up or down, they send you an email. And so we had been tracking flights, and for some reason, the flights to the Chile and Argentina and like that South America during the holiday times, they are terrible. They like you arrive like 2 days later and like
red eyes
and we're just like, so the only like somewhat like flights that were decent that we didn't feel like we were going to be wasting like a good chunk of our time off were like outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the email and they had dropped $300 and we're book flights.
Dang,
That's where that Chase travel card comes in handy.
Yeah, I was just going to say the travel points. Oh man, if you have not gotten a travel card yet, it more than pays for itself, like above a card that just gives you like cash back. Like the cash back ones are relatively kind of a joke. I mean, it depends on your circumstances.
Points every day.
But yeah, most travel cards, like you rack up the points, you pay, like even if they have a fee, I think one of mine has a $550 a year fee, still more than pays for itself every year.
Yeah. That's like the top level Chase. Yeah, I have like the second level, but there's still like so many perks, and not just like with earning the points. Like I paid for my flight to Canada with points, paid $0 for that trip.
Yeah,
like,
and that's what I did going to Cambodia.
Like, we booked all of our Airbnbs for Chile with points. We did like a pay yourself back with points. And so all of our accommodations in Chile are covered with points.
That's great. Yeah.
So the flights are insane, but you know, but then also it's like
you those book little it through, bits make a difference here.
When
and
you
there,
book it
yeah.
through the card, and then you I'm earning points using their portal.
Yes, yeah, so
and
have
so then
money
like,
back
I'm
later,
getting money back later. Exactly. I'm gonna spend the money anyway. And then what was I gonna say about the points thing? But yeah, they add up. So
and some cards the points are worth more than others, so you kind of have to do one of those like forum analyses of which card's better, which one. It also depends on how frequently you're going. So if you're traveling more frequently, you can go for one of the more expensive ones, but there's so many options out there. The travel, it's like if you don't get into the travel card stuff called, you know, it's travel hacking, you're gonna be wasting a lot of money.
They also, the Chase cards also offer like things like extra like car insurance. So, you know, like when you rent a car,
the features of it. Yeah,
they
does.
Want you to like add on like all those extra, you know, incidental insurances.
I've been able to use that before too. Like my mom and I went on a road trip through Utah to see all the different national parks. I think we didn't have to pay any extra for insurance.
Yeah, well, the Chase card will cover it. And I know this because my car was in the shop because I had gotten into an accident, and then they gave me this luxury upgrade, of course. You Great. Get to an upgrade. Like, thank you. And then I crashed that one, too, two weeks later. And because it was a luxury car, it wasn't just a $500 deductible. It was $1,000. And so I go to return it. Of course, I can't hide it. There's a giant scrape down the whole side of the car.
Oh, that sucks so bad.
And so I paid the $1,000. But because I had used my Chase card to make the reservation, I called up Chase, explained what happened. They were not only willing to cover the $1,000, but were like as sweet as pie about it. Like it wasn't even like
That's
a hassle.
Awesome. Yeah.
And so they just cut me a check for $1,000 and it was like it never happened. So like when that 1,000% worth doing something like that.
Yeah. And you also get, I also have the Chase Sapphire Reserve. You get like the priority pass. You get to go in the lounges. I mean, it sounds like, oh, whatever, lounges is just like an extra.
So nice.
But it's nice because some places you do end up going to the airport really early just to be cautious, and then you're bored. So the lounge is nice. You get free food.
They
have free alcohol. Mm-hmm. They free Wi-Fi, nice places to sit.
Yeah,
hook up
more
laptop,
comfortable chairs and stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it.
I had the second tier, so I don't think I had the priority pass, but I think that it also covers some medical insurance type expenses. Like when I went to Alaska, they asked for travel insurance like that would cover like some medical expenses because we were doing a lot of like
you need the,
yeah we did like an
like
adventure
medevac.
Cruise
yep.
so it was a lot of like kayaking and hiking and things like that, and if you know, and it happens like I've thankfully not to me yet, but you know, I mean, your motorcycle burn on, you know, and stuff, but, you know, you never know. And so, that particular tour company was like requiring, medical type travel insurance. And I didn't have to go out and buy extra because Chase covers.
I did not know a big part of that. That's cool. That's good to know. Cause, you know, my Antarctica cruise is the same thing. We have to have a, insurance with Medevac, which I think my, medical insurance itself is good in other countries. At least that's what my employer tells me. But
it's a good thing to follow up with.
I still ended up buying an extra one just because, you know, the cruise is like almost $10,000. So you're like, okay, if there's a change, like the insurance has to cover other things. Like if there's a change in the cruise, or like they would cover that if they changed it themselves. But if like I got sick or something came up and I couldn't go, or I missed a flight, like I wouldn't get that money back, and that's a lot of money.
True. Like, I feel like in all sectors, like, travel insurance is important. You know, so if you don't have a credit card that covers it, you know, and they always give you that option when you're booking, you know, to add it. And I'm like, look, for the $30 or $40, you know, life happens. I mean, I missed out on about $500 of travel expenses because I had a flight, and I guess I didn't book accommodations at the point. I think it was just the flight. And it was pre-COVID. And my dad went into the hospital, and he was supposed to come out, but I just had this sinking feeling that he wasn't going to. I ended up buying travel insurance, but it was after he was admitted. And so it like ended up not working out. And I was like, like if I had just like
thought,
well, and like, you know, when you book it, you're like, everything's fine. I'll definitely be able to go. I don't need to spend this extra
anything.
Right. Because it's hard when you're putting out like, you know, $500 for a trip or for a flight. The last thing you want to do is tuck on an extra $40. But then I didn't get any of that money back. And since it was pre-COVID, it wasn't like airlines weren't giving out like credit and things like that all willy-nilly like they are now. And they were just like, yeah, that's really too bad for you. That was just it.
During COVID, I actually didn't get credits on everything because there were a couple of flights I booked where they just said, oh, it's non-refundable. So I think I had booked going into 2020, I think I probably booked 4 or 5 trips that I had to cancel. And fortunately, I think I only lost $700, which is still a lot, but given how much I had booked, that's not too bad.
I had booked with pretty major airlines, and they did give, they, it wasn't a refund, but it was travel credit.
It was a credit.
So I was able to like use it later.
Yeah, I think the one I had booked was proprietary in Europe. And I think because I booked the cheapest flight, you know, I had booked a cheap flight to somewhere in Scandinavia for the winter. So it was like completely off season. It was the
cheapest airline. What was that like?
So,
winter in Scandinavia. Because I've thought about that. And I'm like,
I've done it a couple times.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually not bad. And again, this could have to do with climate change. I hope not. But, you know, I did Iceland in November and Denmark and the lower part of Sweden. It's right next to Copenhagen.
Okay.
So I did those in one trip in November. And it was, so the Iceland part was really cold. I would do like granted the jacket I had was too thin, but I'd put on like 5 layers to walk outside all day. And then once I got to mainland Europe, it was a little bit better. But I also did, it was Finland and Estonia in January.
I think I was supposed to go on that trip with you and it didn't end up.
It was still cool. I mean, there was one point where we were walking outside in Finland after we had gone horseback riding and my hands were just freezing. But luckily one of my friends who was with me, like, lent me some of his gloves and things like that. So that ended up being okay. It was like a very brief period of discomfort. Okay. Yeah, I was okay.
Yeah. Cause like, I wonder like, you know, I immediately, you know, when I think about like Norway and Sweden and Finland, I like conjure up as like, you know, reindeer and snow falling and pine trees.
Yeah, well, kind that of, like, that would be the cool snowing, part about going in winter.
Right. You
get
those like really kind of like Scandinavian vibes, but also like if you wanted to any level of comfort, but then you miss out on that like scenery. So I'm like, would I want to go in winter or would I want to go in summer?
Probably worth seeing both times.
Get around.
I think, I mean, I personally like, I tolerate cold weather probably a little bit better than super hot weather. I know that's different for everybody. It just depends on your internal temperature regulation.
Yeah, but it also depends on, like, you know, I'm fine in the hot weather if I'm near, like, a pool and a beach, you know?
Yeah.
Or there's some, like, level of, like, some relief, you know?
Relief.
Or if it's dry heat versus humid. But, no, I did Iceland in January, and it shockingly was not as cold as I was expecting.
Yeah, because they've got the, is it the Gulf Stream that brings warm water up, hits like the Reykjavik side of Iceland. Yeah, and that's why it's more rainy.
We did, spent the bulk of the time doing like a south coast tour. We actually didn't do like the Golden Circle that most people do.
That's probably
do.
Why you got warmer weather, because it was hitting from that side.
Yeah. Like, I was still in like, you know, big fuzzy boots and several layers.
You probably
and,
dressed better than I did for that trip.
I had, like, you know, a big puffy jacket with a big, like, furry hood and stuff. And but it wasn't so much the cold as much as it was a couple of days we had a little bit of, like icy, like freezing rain. So you were kind of like getting pelted with ice. But, you know, at the same time, like, we did a kind of a small group tour, like a 3-day, you know, two-night kind of, might have even just been one night. And there was like 12, 15 people. And those types of tours are really fun because you end up meeting like a lot of people and you can't help but like talk in the car because you're you're stuck driving to the next
You're like, all right, I'm getting to know you now.
The way it worked is like, you know, you kind of got out and like saw the waterfall and like, you know, you walked up some stairs or, you know, kind of hung out for 20, 30 minutes and took your pictures and stuff. Then everybody kind of piled back in the car. You warmed up and you drove to like the next, you know, stopping point. To see the next, you know, thing. So it wasn't like we were outside, like, walking through the city streets, you know, freezing our butts off.
It was I mean, more of like... My cousin and I went, and we like, hiked up a volcano in Reykjavik. It was Mount Esja, I think it's called.
I did that.
But it was, like... We got towards the top and like my phone died because the battery was too cold and like it was foggy and stuff. That, so like, that's what we were dressing for.
There's nothing that strikes fear in my heart more than when your phone dies in another country.
I was like, I'm just gonna put it under my shirt so it gets my body heat. I mean, we were fine. And like when we came back down, I think there was only, you know, Iceland, it's so sparsely populated. They had one bus going around and it was only going in one direction. So if we caught it going to Mount Esja, but then coming back, we were like, okay, this is going to take us the long way. We have to go to the end and then come back. And fortunately, this really nice woman, and Iceland's rated like the safest country in the world. This really nice woman comes by. She's like, do you guys need a ride? And we're like, sure. And we go in the car with her and she...
Please tell me your phone was working by now.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, my cousin had her phone too, so that was okay. But yeah, I mean, I don't think they had Uber or anything like that. We stayed at a hostel that was close enough to everything we could walk. And that's kind of, I mean, she's also super frugal. So we were just like, we'll cut corners wherever we can as far as money goes. Mm-hmm. But, the one thing I remember, it was November 2016 and the woman starts asking us, it was like the day before the election results came out. And she's like, why in the US do people seem to want Trump more than Hillary? And I was like, this is way too complicated for me to explain to you right now.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, I wish I could explain this in simple terms, but they just aren't any.
What a great example though of like going to different countries and like, you know, we know how we view our country, living in it and you know, hearing the rhetoric and like, you know, not to get super political or anything, but you know, you hear all those, that messaging and the information and, you know, but then like, it's very interesting to like, listen to how what other people's and other countries' viewpoints are of American politics. And we're like, you know, because we're in it, you know, we hear so much details and they're just like, we are baffled.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, wow.
It's complicated. So
it's complicated.
I'm not going to get into that. But we were talking about ways to save money. So, yeah, one way I save money is I do, when I have a lot of time to kill, I will walk places. In fact, I think when I was in Japan, I walked 35,000 steps a day.
Wow.
And I lost, I was there 2 weeks, I probably lost like 10, 15 pounds. And, you know, of course, when you lose weight that fast, you gain it back.
I always
really quickly,
lose weight when I travel, though, because A, I'm more active.
I'm not bored. I'm not bored eating.
And, but even if I do eat, like, you know, if I indulge in gelato or whatever, I'm walking it off. And also, I just think that other countries don't put as much, like,
they don't add as much
filler
sugar.
And, you know, just
I'm
like processed.
I'm 100% certain about
that. You know, you're
that.
Just eating, like, more, like, genuine, like, fresh, authentic ingredients, just cleaner eating.
Yeah. Cause sugar doesn't fill you up. So, like, in the US, you have to eat more to get full. And you're just eating more calories that are sugar, you know?
Right. Just empty calories. But going back to the whole walking thing, you know, not only is it a money saver, but I feel like I did a lot of walking in Rome. I was there alone. My trip to Italy previously was, you know, I went to Rome a couple of days. My my cousin Priya was on her way back from Belarus, and we ended up meeting in Sicily because it was like she had like a couple of options of like where she could have her like layover. So we met in Sicily for a few days. I stayed in Palermo. Sicily is beautiful. And then I went back to Rome. She flew home, and I spent a few more days alone. So, again, the beauty of solo travel is not having to like compromise with someone else about do you want to walk the 35 minutes or do you want to catch the Uber? And I was just like, you know what? It's a beautiful day. I want to see the city, and walking sometimes is the best way to like really drink in the city. And I would just like, thank goodness for Google Maps, which is why like when your phone stopped, I was like, no, not that, because that's like my lifeline, right? Especially when I'm by myself.
Yeah.
Always carry an auxiliary battery charger. Always, especially if you're mapping everything.
Yeah. I had a story like that. I was like, my first time solo traveling, I was in Paris, and I went out one night, and I tried to come home a little after midnight. I had been out all day, so my phone battery was about to die. And I get on the metro, and as I have to transition trains, they're like, metro's closed now. My brother, who had been to Paris, told me that he got scammed by a taxi. So, like, the whole trip, because, you know, it was my first solo trip, I was super hesitant to use the taxi. So I was like, I don't have enough money to get scammed right now.
It's something to think about.
Yeah. So what I ended up doing, and in retrospect, I was like, this was pretty risky, but I was... You know, I was young, so I ended up following the metro signs back to the hostel. I used them because I didn't have my phone.
Clever, though.
Yeah, so I used the metro stop signs because they were close enough to each other, and they were kind of like along the street.
Yeah,
you could figure it out. So I ended up, that was my navigation.
Oh my god, I think I would have been. I probably would not have been that savvy. I probably would have like cried in the corner or something.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I'm kind of like unconventional creative sometimes, but in retrospect, I was like, that was nuts. So,
dang, have I ever gotten lost in a city like that with no internet?
Always bring a portable charger.
Yeah, I learned very early on that international data plan. I have got friends who tease me about this. They know who they are if they're listening, who tease me because, like, if I'm going with somebody new, or if I'm like organizing a trip for a group of friends that like maybe not everybody's experienced, like one of my first things is call your cell phone company and get an international data plan and go buy an auxiliary battery, because there is nothing worse to me than being in by yourself, female, in a country with no cell service and no battery.
Because you can't even look up words at that point unless you like that's actually one of the reasons I get offline translator apps sometimes. So if I don't have signal, cell I can service, look it up.
Yeah.
That's one of those situations where you're like, this is worst case scenario. So yeah, I try to think of like, what are the worst things that could happen and see what kind of, backup plans I can get. Like, for instance, I was in Mexico City this year.
I love Mexico City.
I do too. Oh man. I watched Dark Tourist last night, and it was talking about, I went to this part of the city of Mexico City. I think it was Topito, something like that. It was like the most, it's where this, the Day of the Dead concept kind of started.
Okay.
And I actually did a tour there, but anyway, back to what I was saying before, I was supposed to get picked up by a tour company that was supposed to do the tour, which we had like a scheduling mess up, and I ended up canceling with them later on. But I was at the airport, and I was looking for the guy who was supposed to pick me up, and he was at a different exit. And while I'm looking for him, I go to withdraw money from the ATM, but of course I'm like a little stressed out trying to find him. It turns out later that day, I went to go get coffee, and they're like, oh, it's cash only. So I'm like, okay, I don't think I have enough cash today. So I go back to the ATM again, and I don't have my debit card. And I'm like, oh my God, it's at the airport.
You left it in the machine.
I left it in the machine. And so the backup plan I had, which worked, was that I had PIN numbers assigned to my credit cards that I had with me. And using those credit cards with PIN numbers, which granted is a cash advance, like you get a little bit of a fee, but I was only there for 4 days, so it wasn't too bad.
Well, and at that point, if you're in a cash-based society like stuck without it.
Yeah,
right?
You have to. And I was by myself in Mexico City, which, you know, for some people, maybe that sounds horrifying, but.
let's talk about that.
We'll talk about that soon.
I had a trip booked to Mexico City. I was so excited. Went with my friend that I mentioned earlier, who we had gone, on a few trips already at this point. And literally the comments of people that I was like, where's your next trip? Oh, I'm going to Mexico City. And the comment would be something like, oh, watch out for the cartel. Like, look.
Yeah.
I'm a middle school English teacher.
Business.
Like, the cartel is not coming for me. Like, I'm the least of the cartel's worries. It's like any large city. We have them here in the States, too. If you haven't noticed, Baltimore has a pretty high crime rate.
Even D.C.
You have to take those same precautions that you would go to in any larger city, with a few more, as far as like you mentioned, like the offline apps or the translator apps and offline map, Google Maps and things like that. Google Maps to like get around in case you don't have cell service, because you might have an international cell data plan, but if the tower isn't working that day, you're still SOL.
Yeah.
So, there is like just that mindset here of, we just don't go to certain places because like you're definitely going to get
So there's this thing in psychology called I learned this in high school. It's called availability heuristic. And so a heuristic is a shortcut we use to solve problems. And the term availability heuristic means that you think something happens frequently because you heard about it, which is actually kind of the opposite.
Mm.
Because the reason you're hearing about it is because it was
unusual.
Exactly. I notice this too. When I tell people I'm going somewhere, they're like, well, I heard this, this, and this. I'm like, you are hearing about it. Some places it probably happens more frequently, and that's part of why we're hearing about it in the U.S. But we have, like, fear-based news reporting. And it's fear-based because you're going to pay attention if it's scary. So when you go to these countries, nobody's going to come up to you and bug you. The only times where somebody's approached me in a weird way was like, I think I was in Paris and like a homeless man came up and hugged me and kissed me on the cheek, which was gross. But it was also just like, okay, maybe this person is on something. I have no idea.
Because you were in another country.
Right,
could happen in any large city here in the U.S.
So you take your
precautions. Just because bad things don't happen often doesn't mean they're not going to, that you shouldn't do your research.
You have to take precautions and you have to be aware and vigilant, especially if you're by yourself. You have to be vigilant about certain things. One of the things I do,
don't stand on corners like with your most expensive cell phone and or counting your money.
And even as an experienced traveler, people have come up to me and like, I think when I was in Ecuador, somebody told me not to do that because I was waiting for somebody on the corner, and it was an awkward corner to pick somebody up, so I had my phone out trying to see if they were calling me. And she was like, no, don't have your phone out here.
Yeah.
And of course, I was a little embarrassed, so I was like, I know. But I was like, I'm going to take the risk anyway, because, overconfidence. But what was I talking about?
we were talking about researching risk and things like that. I think another thing to look up before you go to another country is, not just danger or crime and things like that, but also a disease.
I've been on getting vaccines beforehand, even before COVID. I did that.
Morocco was one. I think South Africa was one for me. There was a list of things that we had.
Some of them are
set
and forget. I think I got yellow fever vaccine, and that lasts like 10 years. So I was like, get it once, it applies to all kinds of places. Whereas I think typhoid, you have to get every 2 years, which that's a little bit more cumbersome.
And a fun money saver tip for that. I haven't done this yet. But I've heard that you can get the yellow fever vaccine is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
But you can get your yellow fever vaccine in another country, say Germany. And it ends up being expensive. A fraction of the cost.
Oh, that's smart.
That you're going to be heading to
it's like medical tourism.
but it was a fraction, like, because the United States, it was just so expensive.
And that's another thing about being in the U.S. is, like, the medical costs here are way more than most places. So sometimes it's cheaper just to fly, book a flight somewhere else and get that medical procedure there. But yeah, one of the things that I try to be vigilant about, especially when by myself, is splitting up my resources. So I split up my cash, split up my cards. I even make sure to have a secondary device like my iPad in case something happens to my phone. And I leave half of it where I'm staying, try to walk it up if it's a hostel, take the other half with me. And you do that with IDs too. I will, you know, copy your passport, or sometimes I'll even bring my license along just so that if somebody stole my passport, I'd have that extra piece of ID. Because I've heard of that happening to people where they're like, they all their stuff was stolen. And they're like, oh, we need identification. And we're like, how am I supposed to give you ID?
Right.
Yeah.
So speaking of passports, two things on that. Yes, always carry a paper copy with you. A lot of times, like, tour companies will ask for your, you know, picture of your passport, or and they don't hold it or anything. But for their own liability, like, they need to know who was on their tour. God forbid something happened, right? They have a record of, like, who was with them. Secondly, sometimes you'll go to, like, different places and they'll give you, like, a fun little, like, stamp that said that you did something. When I went to the equator, in Ecuador, like, in Quito, you know, you balance an egg on a nail.
Oh, I did that too.
I mean, hello.
You're not just balancing it on the nail. You're balancing it off center. That's the cool part. It's the magnetism. Yeah.
Right, right. And, like, the force. I mean, it's fascinating place, but they give you a fun little, like, and they offer it to you in your passport. And they say, oh, take out your passport and we'll give you this, like, stamp that you, you know, completed this activity. If it is not an official, like, border customs type of stamp, it can actually make your passport not valid. So another reason to have a paper copy of your passport, you can collect all those fun, kitschy little, like, for, like, touristy stamps.
You would think the people doing that would know that.
They don't care. It's not going to be their problem, right? If their passport goes invalid. So I always have those little, like, fun, kitschy stamps on the paper copy of the passport.
That's smart.
And I just save my actual – and although so many airports have stopped stamping, which – I mean, it actually bothered me.
So, like, you know, when you go into Europe, it's like one in and one out from the EU. And then cruises I've been on, they don't stamp. So I like, look at my passport and then the one I had before it expired. And I'm just like, I should have so many more stamps than this. And it's kind of silly, but, like, you know, I wanted those stamps.
There's no sound on earth that gets me more excited about the beginning of a trip is walking up to the customs and hearing those stamps and thinking, like, I can't wait till my passport gets stamped. And when we crossed the border into Canada, because we flew.
I don't think they did mine in Canada either.
And in the Bahamas, because the Bahamas and the U.S. are very close. So we actually cleared customs leaving Nassau. I didn't have to, like, clear it when we re-entered the United States. And I didn't get it in Bahamas either. I'm like, man, my two big trips this summer. I didn't get any passport stamps. Bummer. Gotta find another way to collect
it. Yeah, they think they're being convenient, but they're robbing us of our collections. Oh, man. So I think as far as, you know,
Affordability.
And, yeah, just – yeah.
So I think many ways to,
yeah,
to get around.
Yeah, there's so many
it.
Things that yeah. we can do.
Where
to
there's a will,
it.
There is a way.
For sure. And so I think you'll hear more from us on our next episode of The Marvels and Mishaps of Travel. Thank you very much.